Okay, our next speaker is María Eugenia Orellana from Venezuela with the topic Behind the Atypical Eye.
Hi, good afternoon. As Dr. Abelardo said, I come from Venezuela. I'm going to present a case, and this presentation is called Behind a Atypical Eye. First, I'm going to remind you some concepts and definitions about phthisis. Hogan and Zimmerman, in their book in 1962, they were talking about phthisis bulbi, and they say this is a result from panophthalmitis. Years later, Alpern and Rabe, in their book in 1985, they say they describe five different conditions, histopathologically speaking, and they give a lot of importance to the ectoderma epithelium, who is arising from the outer layer of the cup, and they say it's a sequence of events in the eye. Then, in the book of the AFIP in 1994, they are talking about the mechanisms that can produce the atypical eye related to the retinoblastoma. And they say they had some cases with some appearance in one eye in the presence of bivalve tumor in the other eye. And they made an explanation that such cases can exclude the possibility of a system mechanism for tumor necrosis. In the newest AFIP fascicle, Dr. Fon said that there could be some elements like vascular occlusion, calcium toxicity, and inflammation can be related with the phthisis. Here, I have my first question. Which is my best case since I left this lab? I went back to Venezuela in August 2009, and one of the important things I found is a new clinic for oncology, for pediatric ocular oncology. They had 376 patients with retinoblastoma. Each year, there are close to 25% of new cases. Of them, like in the literature, we can see 75% of unilateral retinoblastoma and 25% of bilateral. Of these patients, sadly, 80% have to go to enucleation because the advanced stage of the disease and also for absence of response to treatment. I'm going to present this case. It's about a male, 14 months of age. His ocular history is he had bilateral retinoblastoma at 8 months of age, and he present with eyelid edema in both eyes. At 12 months, he has no visual acuity, and both corneas were opaque. He received chemoreduction 4 cycles before enucleation, and clinical was presented as a phthisis bulbi. The first enucleation we received in March 2009, and we can see here the specimen of the right eye. Look at this is a phthisical bulbi. Remember, it's a shrinkage of the eye with very thick sclera and complete disorganization of the content of the eye. Here we can see the block of paraffin, and here is the optic nerve. You can see also the characteristics. In the histology, histopathological speaking, we have here some part of the conjunctiva, and here is the stroma underneath, and a complete disorganization of the anterior segment with some areas with calcification, and also a lot of histiocytes with foamy cytoplasm, looking like a xanthogranulomatose inflammation. In some areas, we can see here hemorrhagic areas and also the calcification surrounded by this group of histiocytes. Here, again, the calcification, remember, calcification is one of the characteristics of a thysical eye, and closer the histiocytes. In some areas, we can see here the space, the empty spaces of areas with for a cleft of cholesterol. In some areas, we found hyperplastic RP areas also with fibrous metaplasia. The vessels here, as we can see, open lumina and the histiocytes. The vessels in some areas look with the open lumina surrounded by areas with the hyperplastic RPE, and also here another vessel. This case was diagnosed as a retinoblastoma poorly differentiated in a thysical eye with an stage 2A1, which is according to Grabowski, Abramson, and Ellsworth classification, it means episcleral tumor cells. Also, we saw post-treatment histopathological changes. 1 month later, we received, in April, the left eye. Here, we have the gross pathology of this specimen, and it's close to the other one. Look at the sclera and the disorganization. These yellow areas were according to the areas with the histiocytes inside the eye. The microscopic findings, we can see here the calcification also surrounded by some areas, here the rest of the choroid, and in some areas, tumor cells. Other areas show the calcification and also some vessels with endothelial cells surrounding them. Here, and some vessels with more wide open lumina. The vessels with some areas with myxoid changes. And in this case was diagnosis of a retinoblastoma poorly differentiated in a thysical eye with an stage 2B1, according to Grabowski, Abramson, and Ellsworth classification. It means the tumor cells were more than beyond the retro, close to the optic nerve, but with the section cut was negative. The post-treatment histological changes were seen. So we ask, what happened in these eyes? Why, if he received chemoreduction, we still found some cells on the episclera and also in the optic nerve, and we saw a lot of changes. We saw different group of appearances in these eyes. That's why we decided to perform immunohistochemistry studies with CD34. Here we can see in the same area two different patterns. Here is the area with the histiocytes, and here a proliferation of vessels, all them marked brownish with the CD34. CD34 is an antibody which is directly against the endothelial cells. Here we can see how positivity are the vessels with the lumina open. But in some areas, the vessels were completely narrow, their lumina, as we can see here, with the endothelial cells clearly demarcated with the antibody. Some areas, the vessels has some pattern, like we can see in the uveal melanoma, the parallel the definition of these vessels, close to one to another. Compare this one. Here we can see the vessel with the lumina narrow, and here we have the classical picture of a retinoblastoma with the vessel in the center and the group of cells, the viable cells surrounding these vessels. These are not looks alike. This is, in our case, this is a classical aspect of a retinoblastoma. Also, in a classical retinoblastoma, we can see these areas with the vessels also with deposit like an Azopardi effect, and we can see some of the vessels with hyperplasia and hypertrophic endothelial cells. In some areas, we can see in a classical retinoblastoma the presence of glomeruloid pattern, like or similar as we can see the glomeruli of the kidney. The appearance of the vessels and the surrounding by the viable cells were described and was well defined in this paper in 1990 when they defined the relation between proliferating cells to blood vessels, and was published in EOBS. And we didn't see these findings in our cases. If we compare here, we have the appearance of our vessels and the if we compare with the classical one. Some months ago, we published this article, and we know that there is something happening in these cells, and also they are related with the vessels. And here we test the presence of vascular endothelial growth factor in retinoblastomas. And we saw that all the cases except one were completely positive to this factor. So something in these cells has a very good relation with the vessels. So we have now some questions. Are these two different kinds of vessels, the vessels of the classic retinoblastomas as we saw in the last pictures, and the vessels of cases with physical eye? We don't know. And also, are the vessels in physical eyes more resistant to chemotherapy? We don't know. Our goal, or we're trying to elucidate new mechanisms of resistance to chemotherapy in retinoblastoma patients. Also, we try to identify new therapeutic targets, including components of the tumor vasculature. This patient died 2 weeks ago for multiple metastasis, so something is happening. It's an eye in a ptysis, it's a ptysical eye, but the patient has still viable cells, and they were outside the eye. They were in the orbit, in the episcleria. Thank you very much.
Any question or comment for Dr. Orellana? No comments? Okay, doctor, thank you very much.